So for today, at least, we are on the bottom of Daled Amud Beis. This Amud is a little bit easier, so if you can utilize it to catch up, that would be great. It's rooted a lot in the Agadata, and I'll try to just have a few ha'aris along the way, but it really is an unusual Gemara, and in that sense, a little bit of a difficult Gemara to understand, not because it's challenging to follow, but it's a little unusual, at least the way it starts. We said that if the staff is not 10 tefachim high, it's too low, so that's no good. And if you remember, the Gemara already began to focus very differently than it did in the beginning. What I mean to say is that when the Gemara began, it started talking about the schach being too high. And when it started talking about the schach being too low, you remember the focus began really to be on the wall more than the level of the schach. So here you see it again. But what do I mean to say? We had three reasons why there would be a problem if the schach were too high. You can't see it. Remember all this on Amud Aleph, right? Here, the Gemara asks the question in the opposite direction, and it doesn't give the same answer. When it says, Minolan, how do you know that if it's not a Sarat Tfachim, then you have a problem? And Gemara doesn't answer, well, because it's too much in your face. You know, it doesn't give those same answers. It's too much shade. Like, you know, it seems to be fulfilling all of the issues that we had originally. It can be built temporarily. It's giving the shade. You can see the schach. All those things are applicable. So that's not the problem. So what's the problem if the schach is too low? So we said before, this is a concept of a dira srucha. Remember that? That if the schach is technically above 10, but there are little branches, little whatever, things hanging in. So because you got to dodge them all, it's not comfortable, no one would live like that. That's called a dira srucha, and we said that's pasul, that's no good. So here the Gemara says, how do you know that if it's too low, it's no good? Itmar, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva. There's a grouping of Rabbanim, which is Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva. Masna Bekula Seder Moed. That group comes up, it teaches a lot in all of Seder Moed. Kichol Kiyazuga. Every time you have this grouping, this pair, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, you should switch out Rabbi Yochanan, Umayel Rabbi Yonasan, and switch in Rabbi Yonasan. So why it was recorded originally as Rabbi Yochanan, and now the Gemara has to tell us he should switch him out because it's not really him, it's really Rabbi Yonasan. Good question. What happened over here that there's like something that got messed up? But something got a little messed up. It's not supposed to be Rabbi Yochanan, it's supposed to be Rabbi Yonasan. Whatever it is. Aran Tisha Vikapiris Tefach Hare Kanasar. Gemara says, if you remember the Aran HaKodesh, it was 9 Tvachim high. Vikapiris, which is the lid of that aron, was a tefach. Harekan, behold, here you have asara, 10 tefachim. So what? Uksiv, and it says in the pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the construction of the Mishkan, so we know he doesn't begin with the structure on the outside, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with the kelim on the inside. And in that context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says these are the dimensions of the aron, and then he tells us the purpose of the aron. I'm going to meet with you, like Moed, I'm going to meet with you there. V'dibarti itcha, and I will speak with you, me'al ha-kapayres, from on top of the lid of the arun, in between the kruvim, we learn out from Asar. So what? V'tanya, we learn in the Brayis, Rabbi Yossi says, me'olam, never, lo yarda shechina lamata, the shechina never came below, below alu Moshe v'liyo lamar. And Moshe and Elio did not go up to Marom, is from the word like, you know, room, like up high. So Moshe and Elio never went on high. Shenemar, as it says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, Hashem. Ve'aretz, Nosan Levnei Adam, Shamayim is the Shamayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And land, earth, was given to humans. What's going on over here? That's the end of the proof, by the way. What just happened over here? So step by step. So number one. What the Gemara is saying is that there's a problem if the sukkah is less than 10 tefachim because apparently it's not a problem of schach, it's a problem of wall. What do you mean? Because the sukkah apparently has to be a domain to itself. If you remember yesterday we started talking about Rishuyos and 10 tefachim being a wall and machitza. And you have to start off with a mechitza, and if you don't have a mechitza, so then you can't say dofen akuma. It has to be lovewood, the hole in the ground has to be lovewood to the wall.
So you start something called a machitza, something called a wall. And I pointed out yesterday, you find it in other areas of Torah. A rishus. Rishus hayachid. Rishus harabim. What makes something a rishus hayachid? A person's a private domain for Hilchos Shabbos. You can carry there. Has to have a wall around it that's 10 tefachim high. That's it. A wall of 10 tefachim high. Or you're on top of something that's 10 tefachim high. It's also a rishus hayachid. So the sukkah, apparently, you see from here, has to have its own domain. It has to be 10 tefachim high. If the walls are not 10 tefachim high, then you don't have a proper sukkah. It's not really a rishus hayachid. It's not its own domain. So the Gemara seems to be asking, well, how do you know such a concept from? How do you know that a sukkah has to be its own domain? Now you can start to understand the Gemara's answer. The Gemara answers, well, because the Aron, including the Kaporas, was 10 tefachim high. And we know that Shemayim belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is his rishus. That is his domain. Aretz, Nasan Livnei Adam, was given to man. So man's rishus, man's domain, is what we call Aretz. What's the distance between Shemayim and Aretz? 10 tefachim. How do you know the distance between Shemayim and Aretz is 10 tefachim? Because it says, "No adati l'chasham." I'll meet you there, says a Kaddish Baruch. We debarted chasviti on the alakaburis from on top of the kaburis. So apparently, that must be Shemayim. How far is Shemayim from Aretz? Well, the Aron was 10 tefachim. So it's 10 tefachim away from Aretz. That's a very unusual thing to say, because Aretz means our world. Shemayim means another domain, because it's not our world. We don't have access to Shemayim. Shemayim is where the malachim are. Shemayim is a different domain. It's not a physical location. Like people think, you know, like Shemayim is up and Gehenna is down. You're like, it's absurd. Beneath the earth? Obviously not. It's a different domain. So this Gemara is not meant to be understood in that sense literally, other than the fact that it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking on top of the Aron, Chazal are seeing from here also al pi halacha. So in halacha it means something, and we'll try to develop it a little bit in hashkafa, in machshava, it also means something. So little by little. So far, the Gemara is saying, while it may be a very unusual limud, the Gemara is saying that the distance between the domain of Shemayim and the domain of Aretz is 10 tefachim. And that's a proof that a rishus, to be a rishus on its own, has to have a machitza of 10 tefachim, and therefore a sukkah has to have a machitza of 10 tefachim. The Gemara will come to another way to explain 10 tefachim when the Gemara goes on. But for now, the Gemara is going to deal with this. Now, the Gemara said that it's a different domain. How do you know it's a different domain? Because Shemayim LaHashem. And Aretz was given to man. That means it's a different domain. And if it's a different domain, the Gemara goes on to say that the two have never met. So Shemayim and Aretz always remain distinct and separate. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi said, Shechina has never come down within those Asarei Tefachim to Aretz. And Moshe and Eliyahu, who are the only two humans that we know of that seem to have gotten to Shemayim alive, they actually never made it.
So is it saying that Hashem is transcendent?
Yeah. Yeah. That ultimately, access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world is not so pushed. Hashem's Shechina never actually became a physical presence in Aretz. That's what it seems to be saying. The Gemara questions that. Really? V'lo yarda Shechina lamata? Shechina never came down to Aretz? V'haksiv? But doesn't it say in the pasuk that the hey makes it a question? V'ha, ksiv, but isn't it written? V'yirid Hashem al Harsinai? Been talking about the when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and gave us the Aseret HaDibrei, so it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Harsinai. Where he says, yeah, when it says on Har Sinai, it meant on, but not literally on. On, but above Asarei Tefachim. Baksiv, but doesn't it say, isn't it written, that his feet will be standing on that day on the mountain of Olives, Har Zeisim. That's talking about the future, and there's going to be this tremendous miracle, and Har Zeisim is going to split in half, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be revealed. Talking about the future. So it says, his raglav were standing on Har Zeisim. The Malay Asarei Tefachim. Also, above 10 Tefachim, literally on the mountain itself. Okay, so Gemara is apparently satisfied with that.
and switches. Moshe and Elio were never rose up on high. They never got to Shemayim. Baksiv was in the same pasuk. Moshe again. Moshe went up to Har Sinai. He arose to Hashem. Where it says, okay, in the direction, but Lamata Measara. He always remained 10 tefachim away. Below 10 tefachim. Baksiv, isn't it written? But if you remember, when Eliyahu Hanavi, quote unquote, died, he went up in this whirlwind. He went up, whatever it's a chariot, whatever exactly it refers to. So it says, he went up to Elikim. So it says, Hashamayim. I mean, it says that he went up in this Sarah to Shamayim. Lamata Me'asara. So pause for a minute. That was also below 10. He never made it to Shamayim. So what's interesting to me is that means Eliyahu Navi never got to Shamayim. Because he's still Ba'aretz. Which has a lot of interesting consequences. For example, yesterday. But that was not when he died. That was when he went to be Mekabel the Luchos. Here's when Eliyahu Navi died. So that means Eliyahu Navi is still Ba'aretz. So when we encountered our first Teku, and some people say it means Tishvi Yataretz Kushos Bevayos, Eliyahu Navi is going to answer all those questions. So remember today we said Lo Bashamayim Hi. You're not allowed to ask a Navi a question or ask Eliyahu Navi's Neshama a question. Like, well, what do you mean? You're not allowed to do that. How could it be Tishvi Yataretz Kushos? Why does it have to be Eliyahu Navi? So the Kedushas Levi answers that in order to Paskin Shailas, you have to know the Hanahaga, the way that the world is going. That's why we have to Paskin like Beis Hillel, he says. Because the world has to Paskin like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel represents a certain Midas HaChesed, not the Midas HaDin of Beis Shammai. So he says that Eliyahu Navi, because he's still Bo'aretz, he has that sensitivity, he knows that. He's the one that's going to be able to Paskin all these Shailas. Because he's not Beis Shammai and has to come back. He's always been Bo'aretz. And that's why we can have Eliyahu Navi come to every bris and represent the Kaddish Baruch Hu at every bris. Because he has two parts to him. His guf and his neshama, says the Chassam Sofer. His guf is in Gan Eden HaTachtoin. His guf is always ready to do shlichus physically in Gan Eden Tachtoin. But his neshama is in Gan Eden Elyon to do shlichuyos of the Kaddish Baruch Hu when spiritual necessary. Yeah?
What about Malachim, for instance, when they want to go completely wipe out stone?
Yeah.
Technically, that was little. I mean, and also, if you want to say, like, Malachim are God, like, maybe you make an argument, but like,
in terms of Gemara, he sees that they came. Malachim came down to Eretz or something.
So, I mean, does Gemara hold that a Malach really is an extension? It's not.
It's a good question. I have no idea how to answer that. It's a good question. It's an interesting question. I don't know. It's a very interesting question. So it's interesting to know that Eliyahu Navi, even when he died, he never fully died. He never got to this place called Shemayim. He's still Ba'aretz. And that's how Eliyahu Navi can function the ways that he does. In any case, then the Gemara says, V'haksiv, but doesn't it say in the Pasuk, is it not written, V'achas v'nikisei, Pershel v'ananoi, that this is referring, Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk, because that it's talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu's kisei being hidden. So literally, that there is something that is grasping the face of the kisei, and spread upon it is Hashem's cloud. So Pashut Pshat just means that a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod, his throne of glory, is concealed, is hidden behind clouds and whatnot, that you can't really perceive it. But it's being used by Chazal to mean something else. That when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Marom, or almost to Marom, to receive the Torah, to learn Torah from Kaddish Baruch Hu, to receive the Luchos, so do you remember that, the Medrash, the Gemara that says that the Malachim got all upset, and they say, what?! Why is the Torah being given to man? The Torah stays here with us. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to answer that. And Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified to answer them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, hold on to my Kisei HaKavod, and then answer them. So he held on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod, and he starts saying, well, you know, you guys have parents? It says, Kaber es avicha v'zimer, you know, parents. You know, what about this? And he asked all these questions, maybe it's a heart, maybe it's a heart. Obviously, the Torah was destined for us. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu grasped the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod. The Amar Mitanchem Alamin Shapirish Shakai Miziv Shchinasa Vanana Elav. That this word parshes, what does that mean? Me'aches is to grasp. So the way we're understanding it, according to Chazal, is that Moshe Rabbeinu grasped the Kisei HaKavod. But what parshes alav anano? Then Hashem
did something with his cloud for Moshe Rabbeinu. So this Gemara is saying, Mitankum Melamed, this teaches us, it's an acronym. Shapiresh, that's the pe, and the resh. Shakai, that's the shin. Mi ziv, that's the zayin. Pe, shin, resh, pe, resh, shin, zayin. So piresh, shakai, ziv. That Hashem spread upon him with his rays and his cloud. So you see that what happened? The Kadosh Baruch Hu spread his Shechinah and his rays on Moshe Rabbeinu. So isn't it true that they connected? Shemayim v'aretz overlapped. Whereas no, Amatam el Sarah. There's always 10 tefachim away. What do you mean? Mikol Mokum, still, nonetheless. Mikol Mokum, nonetheless. Ma'aches ben ekisek ziv, that Moshe Rabbeinu grasped the kisei. So obviously there had to be a connection. A lot of that 10 tefachim away. So Gemara has an unusual answer. Ishtar buve, ishtar bev le kisei. Ishtar buve, I don't know how to translate this exactly. Stretched, expanded. You heard Plastic Man? So that same language is used by Basparo. When Moshe Rabbeinu's basket is floating, the teva is floating in the Nile, right? In the Suf. So then she comes down, and according to Chazal, she sent out her amo and she grabbed him. So what's her amo? So we would translate Pasha Trad as her maidservant. But shifchasa, I mean, it uses a different word earlier in the pasuk, so why doesn't it use the same word? So Chazal said, no, it means her arm. Amasa, she sent her arm and she took him. You know, she sent her arm, just say she took him. What did she send her arm? UPS? So Gemara said, no, it means it extended. And she reached out to get the teva that Moshe Rabbeinu was in, and her arm stretched out farther than it could have and should have, and she was able to reach him and pull him back in. Why in the world? Which I thought it was such an ace over there is a good question. So we'll have to come back to that another time.
Did you guys hear the same concept with the Kisei Kom? Is also an extension of Moshe.
Yeah, so the Gemara is saying that the Kisei Kom was somehow extended.
Yeah, but it's still an extension of Moshe.
Yeah, so what exactly is my answering?
So it's saying, oh, okay, the Kisei Kavod isn't technically Hashem, so therefore the Kisei Kavod, they could extend, you know, into the 10th Lach and Malta.
That's what it seems like. Right.
Which doesn't really make any sense to it.
Kedoy. Out of Sarah, Benachat Bey, and then Moshe was able to touch it. Reminds me of Michelangelo and touching the finger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever, we won't talk about that. Anyway, talk about it? I don't know. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. So I have a word, I'll try to say it very quickly so we can just finish the Amud. It seems to me that the basic gist of this Gemara, obviously there's the halachic component, but the agadic component, I'm sure, has many, many, many different levels, and there are those that say there's definitely soyid involved over here, but on a surface level, the distance between Shemayim v'aretz always remains asar tefachim, which means, as I think, Jamie, that you were saying originally, there's no such thing as a human being ever really being able to encounter HaKadosh Baruch. So the other Gemara that I've told you in the past, it seems to reflect a very similar idea. And it relates, again, to the Aron. You ever heard this, that Aron eino min hamida, that the Aron mathematically didn't exist? The Gemara in a couple of places says that if you take a look at the dimensions of the room in Shlomo HaMelech's first Beis HaMikdash, so if you measure from one side of the Aron to the wall, it was 10 amos. If you measure from the other side of the Aron to the wall, it was 10 amos. But the whole room was only 20. So where was the Aron? If you measure from the middle of the Aron to the wall, you get 10. And the middle of the Aron to the other wall, you get 10. Makes sense. But you can't measure from one side of the Aron because the Aron was an Amav Achetz. So you'd have to... you can't have it both ways. Where was the Aron? Whereas the Aron eino min hamida. The Aron didn't take up physical space. You couldn't measure it. Okay. Like, that's a wacky idea. Like, what's going on over here? So I think that these two Gemaras have to go together. That the idea that Chazal is trying to tell us is that whenever a person finally feels like he's chap the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he understands Hashem. So you should know that if you feel like that, you're always going to be a 10 tefachim away. The Kohen Gadol and Kippur walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He sees the Arum, he feels the Shekhinah, but then he takes out his tape measure and he realizes it's really not there. It's there. It's not really there. It's always 10 tefachim away. And perhaps that's a slightly depressing idea, but it's a necessary idea. And Rav Kahn once pointed out, that's why we always say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You ever notice that? No one ever calls Hashem HaKadosh. Well, there's Akel HaKadosh, HaMelech HaKadosh. But it's always, we always say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? And by the way, in Kiddusha, the first part of Kiddusha is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What's the second part? Baruch. Why does it start Kadosh and then Baruch? Because the Kadosh is the recognition of these Asarat Tfachim. Kadosh Baruch will always be 10 Tfachim away. He's beyond us in so many ways. But there is some idea, Yishtar, Buve, Kisei, Anasara, whatever, there's some way to make a connection there nonetheless. And that's the Baruch, that's our request. The Kadosh Baruch, please expand yourself into our world, and we should be able to touch you, we should be able to feel your presence in our world, despite the fact at the end of the day that Arum will not be there when you really start to measure it. HaKadosh Baruch. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, Bishlama Arun Tisha. The Gemara now is going to get involved with some technical details about how you know that the Arun was 9 and the Kaporis was a Tefach. The Gemara says, Bishlama Arun, I'm okay, I'm at peace with the idea that the Aron is 9 tefachim, dichsip, because that's a pasuk. Yasu Aron atzei shitim. The Aron is to be made out of acacia wood. Amosayim v'chetzi arkoi, v'am v'chetzi rach wood. Amosayim means 2 amos, v'chetzi and a half. Arko is its length. V'am v'chetzi rach wood, an ama and a half in its width. V'am v'chetzi gamasa, an ama and a half in its height. So the Gemara is assuming that that translates the height of an ama v'chetzi translates into 9 tefachim. El kaparis tefach min alat. But the kaparis was a tefach. How do you know that? From where? The Gemara answers. The Tani Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina taught kol hakelim shasa Moshe. All of the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made nita b'hen tera midas arkan midas rachman midas kaimasan. The Torah gave the measurements of their length, midas rachman, the measurements of their width, midas kaimasan, and the measurements of their height. Kaporis, the lid of the Aron, midas arka, midas rachba, nitna, the length and the measurement of its width was given. How do you know that? Because it fit on top of the Aron. So in order to be on top of the Aron, it has to cover the Aron. It can't fall in. And so it's got to stay on top. It has to be at least the same dimensions as the Aron itself. But, midas kaimasa, the measurement of its height, lo nitna, was not given. So how could that be? If we have this tradition that all of the measurements were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it must mean that there's a way to derive the height of the kaparis also. Otherwise, it's not true that all of the kelim, these dimensions, length, height, and width, were given. Yeah.
I remember when he said that, like, the Aron itself was bigger than the Kodesh Kodashim.
Well,
the dimensions itself were larger.
Because the opposite, that if you measure it. Okay, so Gemara says, but it seems like the measurement of the height was not given, so how could it be that we have a Masorah that length, height, and width were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu from some of the kelim? So it must be that we could somehow can derive it from an existing kli, and the measurement is there, we just have to figure out how to learn it out. But it's not pshat that we don't know, or it's optional, or it could be whatever you want, or something like that. So Gemara says, Tzei ulman mipachas shebekelim. It must be that you can go out, v'lamad and learn it, from the pachos, from the smallest, of the kelim. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'asisalim misgeres tefach saviv. And you shall make for the shulchan a misgeres, so I don't know how to translate that exactly, but almost like a ribbon. There was like a strip that went around the shulchan. We'll see that it's a machlokes if it was on top or on the legs below. But it's supposed to be a tefach. It's a tefach thick. And it goes all the way around the shulchan. This thing called a misgeres. Actually, this is a picture. Does anybody have a good picture in their Gemara?
No.
Can you give me 1 second? Here. So here, I'm sure you're far away, it's kind of hard to see. But this is the shulchan, the bottom of the shulchan. Of course, on top of it were these two rows that had the lechem hakonim, the showbread on top. But here's this thing called a miskeres. So that's the table that they have floating on top of it. And this would be the miskeres underneath it. It's almost like a decorative piece, whatever you want to call it, like a ribbon that goes all the way around. But it's made out of the wood. And then here's a picture of it if it's on top. So we'll come to that soon in the Gemara. But this is the thing in my Jiggy called the miskeres. So Gemara says, what was the dimensions of the miskeres? It was a tefach.
That's explicit in the pasuk. Malahalan tefach, just like over there by the miskeres, the dimension is a tefach. Afkan tefach. So here also, the kaparis must be, it's the smallest, right? Smallest of the kelim, right? That's the smallest measurement we have. So it must be that it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the smallest measurement we find. Must be that the kaparis was also a tefach. Gemara asks, v'nilaf mikelim gufayu, why are you learning it out from a part or a piece of one of the other kelim? Why don't you learn it out from one of the other kelim? So what's the smallest kli? You know? Like a menorah? So maybe it's huge. Gemara answers, tefasta meruba, lo tefasta, tefasta muat, tefasta. Interesting phrase, it's like a metaphor. Tefasta means if you've grabbed meruba a lot, the most, rove, lo tefasta, then you haven't necessarily grabbed. Tefasta muat, but if you grabbed the minimum, tefasta, you've grabbed. In other words, let's say the Torah tells you something is in plural. And it tells you, you go kapos tomorrow. I don't know, maybe it's a bad example. It tells you a plural. So how do you know how many it is? It could be a million. Right, but in logic, what does it have to be? It's at least what? Plural is at least what?
Two.
Is it more than two? It's possible. Is it for sure two? Yes. It's at least two. So tefasta meruba la tefasta. If you grab onto the biggest amount, you didn't necessarily get it right. Tefasta muat, with this minimum amount, you're at least right. It might be more, but it's at least that. You're guaranteed to be right in a certain sense. So Gemara says, okay, fine. You win. So we can't pick the kelim themselves, but a piece of the keli, so maybe that's the answer. Gemara says, wait a minute. Vanilla mitzitz. Learn it out from the tzitz. The tzitz was the, what do you even call it? The headband? I don't know what you call it. That the Kohen Gadol would wear. It's a kaddish lashem on it. The sound is, we learn in a braisa tzitz, toimah kemin tashas of. The tzitz was like a strip of gold. Rachav bezitz bos. It was two fingers wide. Umukov me oizen la'oizen, and it went in a semicircle from ear to ear. The kasav alav, and written upon it was beis shitin in two rows. Yud ke milmala, Hashem's name, yud ke vav ke above. The kadosh lamed and kadosh la, meaning kadosh la Hashem, milmata was below it. Different opinions in Rishonim, what exactly means below it and above it, whatever. Was it directly above, directly below, or side to side? But it said kadosh la Hashem, but Hashem's name was higher than the word kadosh la. V'amar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yosi, anira isiv b'roimi. I saw the tzitz in Rome. The kasav alav kadosh la Hashem eshita achas, and kadosh la Hashem is written in one line, straight across. Very interesting, right? He saw it in Rome. I guess it was in Rome. Done, by the way, this is, Rav Shechter points out that this is one of those proofs from the Gemara that archaeological evidence has a certain validity to it. The Rambam paskins that if the tzitz is written in one row, b'dieved, it's okay. B'dieved, it's okay. How could it be okay? Well, because he saw it in Rome. He says that's what it looked like. So I don't know if that's the best way to write it, but apparently they made one like that because he saw it in Rome. What do you mean? Archaeological evidence, maybe that you can't. Maybe that's not admissible in a halachic context. So that's one of the proofs that there is a certain validity to archaeological evidence from here. Assuming it's really the tzitz. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions that go into archaeology. That's the problem. So, but that's what he says. And then Rambam passes like that. Kosh b'dieved. The Gemara answers, why don't you learn it from the tzitz? Maybe the kaparis is two fingers. How do you know it's a tefach? Done in kli mikli, because we learn out the measurements of kalim, of vessels, from other vessels. Vein done in kli mitachshit, and we don't learn out measurements of vessels from decorations, from clothing. Okay, fair enough. So that's how the Gemara rejects learning it out from the tzitz. V'nelef mizer, but why don't you learn it out from another very, very small part of a kli? Because there were certain kalim that had, I guess you could call them crowns. We learn out that there are three crowns, Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus, and Keser Torah, because there were three crowns on three different vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a crown on the Aron, there was a crown on the Shulchan, and there was a crown on the Mizbeach Hazav. So because of that, there are three types of crowns that a person could possibly get. Keser Kahuna, sorry, you got to be born into. Keser Malchus also, unless the Navi's going to appoint you king. But Keser Torah is available for everyone. But there was this little like a crown, like a decorative type of crown on the kelim. So why don't you learn it out from that? Amar Mar. Zer Masho, that the crown that was on the kelim was a teeny bit. It did not really have to take up any not a lot of space. Very small. A mashahu, a teeny bit. The Gemara answer is no, that doesn't work. Done in kli, mi kli. Being done in kli, mi hechsher kli. That we learn out measurements of kelim from other legitimate parts of kelim. Not from something that's just like a decorative element, a hechsher kli, something that's just there in addition to the kli. It's not part of the kli itself. Yachi, if that's true, miskeris na mi hechsher kli. The miskeris of the shulchan that we started with is not really part of, it's not like the legs of the table. It's like decorative, it's like additional to the shulchan. Where it says, Miskarto, Namata Haisa, because after all, it was on the bottom. Where answer is, that's a fest. Ha nicha, that's good. Lamanda, according to the one who says Miskarto Lamata Haisa, that the Miskaris was underneath. El Lamanda, Amar Miskarto Lamala Haisa, but according to the one who says the Miskaris was above. Michael Amemar. Hai Hechsher, Klihu. Okay, so let me read this clearly. So the Gemara said, the Miskaris was also Hechsher Kli. Weren't answers, miskar to lamata haisa. The miskaris was underneath. You can't call that a hechsher kli, either because it was to support the legs or whatever. Rashi writes, lamata haisa mi regal haisa, nesuna berosham, betaf hashulchan munach alav. And the table part of it was actually resting on it. So it's a functional part of the shulchan. Wasn't there's decoration, it's functional, if it was below. So then Gransk asks, Hanich lamanda amar miskar to lamaita haisa, the lamata haisa. That's good if you hold it was underneath. Elamanda amar miskar to lamala haisa. But if you hold the miskaris was above the table, Mike lamema, what are you going to say? That's just decorative. When it says, hai hechsher kli, who? It's part of the question. So then it's part of the hechsher kli. So that it can't, why are we learning out from it? So when it answers, eladan in davar shenidna by ter remida. Min davar shenidna by ter remida. So the real answer is, it could be a hechsher kli. Maybe the miskeres is actually, but we learn out, apparently we can learn out the height of the kapores even from a hechsher kli, but only from a hechsher kli, davar shenidna by Torah mida. We can learn out something that Torah gives an actual measurement to from something that the Torah gives a measurement to. V'ayochichu tzitz v'zeir, and you can't learn out from the tzitz or from the crown, from the zeir, from the Torah mida klal, because the Torah itself never spells out what the measurement is. So any hechsher the Torah gives a measurement to, like the miskeres, it's a tefach, so then we can learn it out. But if the Torah never gives a shear, even though we may have a shear from whatever Messiah, whatever, that's not good enough. Okay, so we're going to stop there, because next, the Gemara is going to switch, whatever, it's still dealing with the kapores, but it's a good place to stop, so we'll stop there.